Elswith leaned back in her chair, her sharp face showing the look of satisfaction some people assume when they have caught a liar telling an untruth. "But I was taught to call him uncle," Breeder went on, surprising me, for I thought she had found herself in an impossible quandary and was confessing the lie. But instead I realised she was embroidering it. "My mother was called Hild, and she had no husband, but she insisted I call King Edmund uncle," she spoke in a small frightened voice. "And he liked that."
"He liked it?" Elswith snapped. "Why?"
"Because," Breeder said, and then blushed. And how she made herself blush, I do not know. But she lowered her eyes, reddened, and looked as if she were about to burst into tears.
"Ah,"
Elswith said again, catching on to the girl's meaning and blushing herself.
"So he was your..."
She did not finish, not wanting to accuse the dead and holy King Edmund of having fathered a bastard on some woman called Hild.
"Yes,"
Breeder said, and actually started crying. I stared up at the hall, smoke-blackened rafters, and tried not to laugh.
"He was ever so kind to me," Breeder sobbed, "and the nasty Danes killed him."
Elswith plainly believed Breeder. Folk usually do believe the worst in other folk, and the saintly King Edmund was now revealed as a secret womanizer. Though that did not stop him eventually becoming a saint, but it did condemn Breeder, because Elswith now proposed that she be sent to some nunnery in southern Wessex. Breeder might have royal blood, but it was plainly tainted by sin, so Elswith wanted her locked away for life.
"Yes,"
Breeder agreed meekly, and I had to pretend I was choking in the smoke. Then Elswith presented us both with crucifixes. She had two ready, both of silver, but she whispered to one of the nuns, and a small wooden one was substituted for one of the silver crucifixes, and that one was presented to Breeder, while I received a silver one, which I obediently hung about my neck. I kissed mine, which impressed Elswith, and Breeder hurriedly imitated me, but nothing she could do now would impress Alfred's wife. Breeder was a self-condemned bastard. Alfred returned from Batham after nightfall, and I had to accompany him to church, where the prayers and praises went on forever. Four monks chanted, their droning voices half sending me to sleep, and afterward, for it did eventually end, I was invited to join Alfred for a meal. Beorca impressed on me that this was an honour, that not many folk were asked to eat with the king, but I had eaten with Danish chieftains, who never seemed to mind who shared their table, so long as they did not spit in the gruel, so I was not flattered. I was hungry, though. I could have eaten a whole roasted ox, and I was impatient as we ceremonially washed our hands in basins of water held by the servants, and then as we stood by our stools and chairs as Alfred and Elswith were conducted to the table. A bishop allowed the food to cool, as he said an interminable prayer asking God to bless what we were about to eat, and then at last we sat. But what a disappointment that supper was! No pork, no beef, no mutton, not a thing a man might want to eat, but only curds, leeks, soft eggs, bread, diluted ale and barley boiled into a jellied broth as palatable as frog spawn. Alfred kept saying how good it was, but in the end he did confess that he was afflicted with terrible pains in his belly, and that this pap-like diet kept the agony at bay. "The king is a martyr to meat," Beorca explained to me. He was one of the three priests at the high table, another of whom was a bishop who had no teeth and mashed his bread into the broth with a candlestick. And there were also two eldermen, and of course Elswith, who did much of the talking. She was opposing the notion of allowing the Danes to stay in Reddingham. But in the end Alfred said he had no choice, and that it was a small concession to make for peace, and that ended the discussion. Elswith did rejoice that her husband had negotiated the release of all the young hostages held by Halfdan's army, which Alfred had insisted on, for he feared those young ones would be led away from the true church.